You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. This is Dan Keller, and this show was first aired October 17th, 2023.
So we have not been able to engage with any of our followers on those platforms. We're just getting caught up in it. I don't think it's really fair to us.
That was Radio Waterloo's president, Nat Persaud, when asked by CKMS News about the effects of Meta's actions, which have deplatformed and restricted the community radio station's Facebook and Instagram pages. Similar to many community radio stations across the country, Radio Waterloo, also known as CKMS, started to see restrictions on Facebook posts in August. And by September, the station's Facebook posts and profile were not viewable by folks inside of Canada. In early October, Radio Waterloo's Instagram account had the same restrictions. Meta has introduced restrictions on their platforms in response to the Canadian government's Bill C-18, which became law in June 2023 and is on track to come into full force in December. The bill, known as the Online News Act, in part seeks to impose fees on large social media and search engine companies for allowing Canadian-created news content to be shared as links on their platforms. In effect, charging the internet companies for republishing content if they profit from their interaction through selling advertising space or collecting and selling user info. At this time, only Google and Meta meet the triggering guidelines of the legislation. Though, if other companies increase their revenues or presence in Canada, they too would have to follow the new regulations. Google has said they will implement their reaction to C-18 in December, with the delisting of news from the platform expected at that time. For today's show, CKMS News spoke with CKMS President Nat Persaud and CKMS News Editor Bob Jonkman, who are both members of the station's technical team. CKMS News also spoke with Barry Rook, the Executive Director of the National Community and Campus Radio Association. The interviews included questions about the effects of Bill C-18 on station operations, adaptations to the social media restrictions, like joining the Fediverse, and ideas of the role of the government in funding community radio and local news.
Disclosure. Barry Rook of the NCRA discusses the local journalism initiative during this program. Dan Keller, the reporter who created this story, is paid under the Local Journalism Initiative through CKMS.
For more in-depth background and analysis on Bill C-18, lawyer Michael Geist has discussed C-18 thoroughly on his website and podcast, which you can find at michaelgeist.ca/tag/C-18. While both Nat Persaud and Bob Jonkman indicate CKMS have not been seriously affected by Meta's deplatforming, they both discuss the issue. First, we hear from Nat Persaud.
Well, the fact that they've restricted those pages is in itself an effect, so we have not been able to engage with any of our followers on those platforms. We also use Facebook for video streaming of some shows. So those shows have not been able to air their shows via Facebook. They have to use their own personal Facebook accounts.
Now, Bob Jonkman.
Meta has restricted any links that people post to Radio Waterloo. So we can, regular Meta users, Facebook and Instagram, can no longer post links to Radio Waterloo. At least if they post those links, they're not visible to the Canadian audience. As well, any links, anything that Radio Waterloo posts on Facebook or Instagram isn't being seen by any audience in Canada. It's been my experience that sometimes Meta will provide you with a notification that the content that you've posted isn't visible. Instagram is far less regular about that than Facebook is. Facebook still has the regular disclaimer, you know, your content can't be seen in Canada. Instagram just quietly disappears the stuff that you're posting, or at least I've seen virtually no engagement at all from anybody. Maybe people who go and look up CKMS on Instagram might be able to see it, but it's difficult to tell.
And with Instagram and Facebook not really accessible, do you find it useful at all then, like using Facebook at this point?
No, not anymore.
Persaud adds,
I think social media does come with a bunch of advantages that we didn't have before when we were just broadcasting, you know, from radio. Social media is used by many, many people, and Facebook in particular is, I would say, used by most people. So it's, yeah, just hard to reach. I mean, it's just a reality. Everybody uses those platforms. They look at them every day. It severely limits the ability to effectively reach those people. So now we have to go to other sorts of promotional channels like traditional print ads or other radio stations, et cetera, which is typically more expensive. So it's, it just makes it harder.
While CKMS has not been seriously affected by Meta's deplatforming, the same is not true for other stations across the country, who have invested significant resources to build up a large social media following and use social media as an integral part of their fundraising operations and for engagement with listeners. CJTR in Regina is one example. The community station is struggling with finances and has relied on fundraising drives with considerable interaction and engagement on Facebook. In a recent interview with Gizmodo, CJTR's station manager, Neil Adams, expressed that since being deplatformed from Meta, the outlook looks grim for their fundraising goals. Adams said, quote, "To do that without social media is going to be a serious challenge," unquote. He added, quote, "I doubt that we're going to be able to do it," unquote. Barry Rook of the NCRA spoke about the effects of the deplatforming his organization is hearing about from campus and community stations across the country. Primarily, interaction with listeners, volunteer outreach, and fundraising.
Yeah, absolutely. There definitely has been direct impacts. First of all, and we'll speak to the news element of things, is news is shared across the platform. It still is in its own way. There's just sort of some techniques which people have been trying to sneak news and information in. What Meta is calling news sort of is slightly different than what the government of Canada views news as. And we can talk about how that got into play if we want to at some point. But when that type of like hard breaking local civic news is not being shared, it obviously has a direct impact on the viewers and the listeners, because they have to specifically change their platform and their process to capture news. So this is especially troublesome for the age groups that tend to be using social media, which in many cases, even in more senior-based communities, are Facebook. Many grandmas and grandpas are on Facebook, and so there's a lack of information. That's what we've always been pushing. I won't talk right now about what the rest of the news is from what stations are. We can talk about that later. The challenge is the other areas, the ability to get information about the station and the community events, what's happening in the area that's not directly tied to like news, but things that are going on or around. Those are being lost. So there's less connections being made. We also have lost the ability to promote content that goes on the air. So how do you know when a new show is coming out or a special guest is there, etc.? So we've lost the ability to share that really interesting, deep information that the stations are doing. Then you've got volunteerism. Social media has been a huge draw and way to be able to capture interest in joining a radio station. As you know, the station is an open space where people can come to learn about media and radio and not-for-profit management and event planning and all of these types of things. Because the stations don't have the ability to reach out and inform their audience, whether it's active with them or new people who are discovering you, you're losing the opportunity to find volunteers. And then the final big impact that we're seeing, and this is coming up for most people because this is the fundraising drive season. A few stations have gone through some fundraising drives. They've been a lot more challenging when it comes to preparing and coordinating, especially with a few of those drives that have happened just shortly after the ban and the blocking started happening in August. So, you know, 3, 4, 5 months of preparing, all of that kind of got tossed out the window, and stations have had to pivot to figuring out, well, how do we get this information across? And it did become a lot of talking to those who are using their own personal profile pages to get the message out that your station needs help.
Sharing some of the same sentiments as CJTR's Neil Adams in the Gizmodo piece, Nat Prasad of CKMS discussed being stuck in the middle between the government, internet giants, and corporate broadcasters.
I think it's reasonable what Facebook is doing and what Google's doing. They're trying to protect their business. And I do feel that these like smaller radio stations, like campus community stations, are getting lost in the shuffle of all this. We're getting caught up in this, and the government's not really doing much or recognizing and doing much about it. Like, bigger news outlets could possibly handle something like that because they already have like a pretty huge platform. But for smaller stations, the reason why we use this is to try to gain some effectiveness out of it with the very limited budgets that we have. And we're just getting caught up in it. I don't think it's really fair to us. Personally, I think Facebook and Meta are they're making the right business decisions. It's just, I think the government is, I don't know. It's a combination of the government and our own lobbying, I guess, because on the one hand, we want to be seen as a news organization and try to get some money, but like, how probable is that really? I don't know, but we'll see. Because in the U.S., you know, there's lawsuits now against Google, you know, for being a monopoly. There's lawsuits against Amazon for being a monopoly. So even on the U.S. side, they are starting to act against these companies. So maybe that will soften things and allow the Canadian law to actually go through. Who knows?
Barry Rook explains things this way.
So with Google sort of now following along with Meta, using Meta as sort of that, they were the first to go through and try to shake things up. And when there seemed to be no solution there, it appears as though Meta has since decided, not just in Canada, but worldwide, that they're removing news from its platform, that Google's made that decision. And we've seen this has been a process that's been underway for years. And some of the recent statistics are showing that there were upwards of 120 million links being shared in June of just around the start of the pandemic to now, where that number before the formal blocking was starting was down to about 20 million. So Meta's already been sort of throttling this process in preparation to it and trying to divest themselves from the requirement of news, because once they kind of give in to one country, the rest are lining up behind them. So that's why Canada's become this battle zone. When the first sort of trial and skirmish was with Australia, and the Australian government backed down and things were sort of reenacted, well, Canada became the reinforcements coming in, and the rest of the states and Europe and so on is kind of lining up behind us.
Interviewees then were asked to share their ideas on what the role of government could be if they want to meet their goals of supporting Canadian content and community radio. Bob Jonkman of CKMS stated,
I don't think the government needs to do anything. This is private business, you know, let the market sort it out. If the government wants to provide an outlet for news, then they should be doing things like funding the CBC, funding possibly a paper news media, you know, giving them complete editorial independence, but also providing 100% of the funding there. That's a far better model than trying to coerce another private company into paying for a product that they don't want to buy. And I don't know what those media companies would be buying anyway, Google and Meta. What are they buying to get, you know, to pay the fees that they're being told to pay by the government?
Well, the right to publish Canadian news.
But that's not the business they're in. They're in the business of providing a social media. They're actually in the business of advertising. Now, they're in the business of selling people's eyeballs to advertisers. You know, they're not in the business of news brokerage. You know, so this is where I have my first problem with Google and Meta and Twitter and any of the other commercial entities that provide free services to the public, is that they're not doing that. They're extracting value from their users to sell on a market that isn't even visible to those users.
Radio Waterloo President Nat Persaud added,
"Yeah, this is a tough one. So how to actually fund community radio? I mean, you could argue that we're somewhat like a library. If you think about what's happening at the libraries in Kitchener, Waterloo, now you can go in there and you can basically have access to a full audio studio, et cetera. So that really overlaps with kind of our purpose. But of course, libraries are publicly funded for the most part. Should community radio be publicly funded? Maybe at this point it should be.
So like a service.
Yeah, it's sort of a media hub type idea. I mean, radio is so old now that why is it not a something you could just go in and access for free as a taxpaying citizen, right? So we're constantly trying to provide that service to the public and as a nonprofit, but why isn't it just de facto funded by the government? I don't know.
So a bit of a basic income for radio stations or community radio stations.
That's a good way to frame it. I think everybody's starting to understand that now. The whole funding question is fundamental to, especially CKMS, right? Because we used to be a campus station and now we're not. And we really had to rack our brains on how to actually fund this thing and keep it going. And what is the correct funding model? And as you know, we're self-funded, but every day we get emails from people who are producing a podcast, let's say, and they're trying to pitch it to CKMS. And their basic assumption is, okay, here, this radio station is going to pay me for my content. And our response to them is, yeah, you can air your podcast on CKMS. Here's how much it's going to cost you. It's like a complete opposite of what they assume, right? So should programmers have to pay out of pocket? Should we put the burden on them to come up with sponsors and advertisers? Because it does add a layer of effort to a radio show where you could be focusing on actually just producing a radio show and not having to worry about paying for it.
I guess that would be more of the art and cultural impact of your radio station.
Totally, yeah.
And for this point, Barry Rook also responds to the idea of news being too expensive to produce.
So the challenge, I think, really becomes with Meta and now Google, because they see this, the chips lined up the exact same way. They're all seeing this as a, well, are we playing in the game of news and information? And I won't even talk about what Google's mission statement is. We'll just leave it at that. You can go look it up yourself. They've essentially made that decision that news is too expensive to be in. Is that not what the government of Canada was trying to do, to say that news was such an expensive process that we needed to find ways to fund it? So it seems as though we've taken that step and now Google and Meta have said, well, it's too much for us, so we're just going to find our way out. So what does that leave people with? Well, it leaves people with going back to or direct sourcing of the news. And the challenge that I massively see there is many people were getting their news passively through these processes. And because Meta and Google are now going to be blocking and restricting, you actively have to find the news.
The idea that news is very expensive, the government saying it's very expensive, is there other ways the government could tackle the problem of expensive news rather than this process, which is getting a lot of pushback from many angles?
One of the ways in which the government that I believe has started that process, which has been decently successful, is the Local Journalism Initiative. The NCRA and the Community Radio Fund, we were provided with enough funding right now to have around 45 journalists hired at radio stations in communities that have been deemed news deserts. So these are places where there are no other sources of news for the community that's being serviced there, or very little. So no real local TV, not much radio, print. I mean, we just saw 70 more community print newspapers close in the last couple of weeks. So there's even more of a desert there. So that is incredibly important sort of base lifeline to many of these communities, especially when they normally wouldn't have the ability to gather and capture news. Now, is this a total solution? Absolutely not. What it does is it's kind of the life preservers in some of these areas, but there has to be something else. What that something else is, I don't know. And that's the challenge, is how do we find a way to make news and information that is legitimate be also profitable for those who are making it. Our main concern right now is that LJI project is in its fifth year and has not been renewed. If it's not announced in the fall economic statement, it might be announced in the upcoming budget. However, that budget is not going to get passed before the end of the fiscal year for the government. And the funding for those 45 journalists all runs out March 31st. So are we putting ourselves into a position again where this time the government has decided to pull funding on news and information that it put into place? So we're having that concern of even more communities losing access and information. So it's been a trial. We think that trial has been successful. We've had a lot of great stories come out of it. We've had coverage from places that normally don't get it. And some of that coverage has moved into national awareness. And all the content that's created through the LJI is Creative Commons. So it can be shared amongst the communities and get out the way that sort of news and information was intended to do. So we think that is one of the possible solutions. It's part of the process. We're really hoping that the government makes that approval coming forward, but it definitely is not going to solve the news problem in the country.
Finally, we discuss what CKMS and the radio sector has been up to in response to Meta's deplatforming of Radio Waterloo pages. Here is Bob Jonkman.
Yeah, so there's more than one fish in the sea, more than two fish in the sea. Lots and lots of other social media that's available. Much of it is corporate media, and I'm not even looking at any of the other corporate media things, you know, the Bandcamp, SoundClouds, Apple's, Spotify's, not looking at any of those venues to broaden our reach. Instead, we're going to a crowd-sourced social media, the Fediverse, a loose association of many, many different platforms that emulate YouTube, that emulate Facebook, that emulate Twitter, all run by individuals or small organizations, cooperatives perhaps, hundreds of different servers, thousands of different servers, all networked together into something called the Fediverse. Mastodon is probably the best known of those as a Twitter alternative. And so we're putting our website, radiowaterloo.ca, on as an instance in the Fediverse. So anybody who's on Mastodon will be able to follow posts coming from our website. Anybody using Friendica, which is a Facebook equivalent, can see our stuff. PeerTube, which is a YouTube equivalent, they'll be able to see the posts that we make on Radio Waterloo. Eventually, I hope to expand that into providing our own streaming site. Owncast is another piece of software that sits in the Fediverse, and hope to be able to do some of our streaming through Owncast and hit that audience as well.
And Barry Rook notes, what is occurring across the sector in response?
A handful of the stations are enacting things like newsletters and putting more content on their website, starting little podcast news updates, etc. Those have been great ideas. Partnering with your local media or not-for-profit or for-profit small independent news researching group, etc. Those are other ways in which stations have done. I can tell you that the NCRA has abandoned our Twitter/X platform just because of all of the stuff that goes on with that. It just seems unnecessary to maintain that type of communications. We know a handful of other stations have done that too. And there's always those questions of, do we play in the TikTok sandbox, etc., or not, because of the amount of time and capacity it takes to sort of get yourself into that process. But is that the future of information? Definitely seems to be the future of finding new music at the moment. So there's a lot of things that are sort of happening across the way, and each individual organization is making their own selections and connect into their own social media spheres, whether that's more interest in something like LinkedIn or Twitter, or as you say, the Fediverse, you know, those types of things. I don't think we're going to lose, but I think we're going to become a little bit more segregated in those processes. So the stations are going to have to learn, what does that mean for their operations?
Nat Persaud expressed concerns about the Fediverse.
I'm not sure who's using it. So for us, really, the purpose of this is to engage with our listeners and engage with artists and record labels and such. So if those people are not using it, it's kind of hard to get any sort of good effect on there. We also really need to improve outreach at the station. So we're always looking to get more people involved with Radio Waterloo. And the best way to do that is to use a platform that everyone uses.
And Jonkman responds to the concerns and concludes with a note on how to find Radio Waterloo on the Fediverse.
And the nice thing is that a lot of the population in the Fediverse is very much attuned to things like community radio, far less commercially oriented than the people that populate Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. So this is the audience that we want to reach in the first place, and we're about to do so. A bit of a catch-22 situation, because we've been restricted from our content being visible on Facebook and Instagram. We can't use Facebook and Instagram to send out notifications to our former viewers and listeners to let them know we've moved over to the Fediverse. So we have to reach our audience in another way. Now, we haven't actually put on a big campaign on the air as yet. We haven't actually announced our presence in the Fediverse on our website yet either. Now, that's probably going to happen a bit later this week. So we'll reach out to the people that exist in the Fediverse and hopefully get them to copy that information, to repost the information on the commercial sites that where we're no longer visible. But because it's the Fediverse, in every instance, the server has to be named as well as the user address. So our user address is at radiowaterloo.ca. And our instance name, the server name, is also at radiowaterloo.ca, which makes our Fediverse handle at radiowaterloo.ca, at radiowaterloo.ca. Type that into your search bar on Mastodon or Friendica or whichever Fediverse instance you're using, and you should be able to find a link to our social media presence on the Fediverse.
You have been listening to Bob Jonkman and Nat Persaud of Radio Waterloo, and Barry Rook, Executive Director at the NCRA, speaking about the effects of the Online News Act on community radio, what they think the government could be doing to support the sector, and what radio stations are doing in response to being deplatformed on Meta's social media networks, Facebook and Instagram, including launching into the Fediverse. As Bill C-18 comes into full effect in December, CKMS News will be following up on this issue. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thanks for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news
and listen to all the LJI content at canada-info.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.